Maybe there are some of you here today that if you were asked, why did you come to church today? Maybe a couple of you would say, well, I want to hear what Pastor Dave has to say. Well, let me tell you why I come to church. Because I want to hear what other people that have voice in this congregation at one time or another have to say. Because it always thrills me how what they are saying has a way of parlaying and connecting to what God has for me to say on a given Sunday morning. We have some guests here this Sunday, and I gave them each a copy of that little paper that Brent was holding that I gave each one of you about 3 weeks ago when we started a message on, and if you'd like to put the title up there, Victor, I've changed it a little bit, just a little bit, in that I added the word innocence under tree of life, and I added the word judgment under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want to do a little bit of a catch-up so that when I pick up, we'll all be on the same page. But we talked about the fact that there are two trees in the garden that were clearly described in Scripture in the very beginning. And one was the tree of life, and the other was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And last time we talked about this subject, we discovered that if you read all of the fruit that are on that tree, like the tree of life, faith and gentleness and joy and love and peace and meekness and goodness, temperance and long-suffering, unity and happiness, if you look at the trunk, that is the flow, that is what the Spirit of God will produce in you and I as a tree of life. Jesus, this is the name, another name of Jesus. He is the tree of life. But there was this other tree that was in the garden. It was the only prohibition that was given, and that was that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was there also. And the Father said, everything is yours. You have dominion. This is before they disobeyed Him. Everything is yours. Be fruitful. Multiply. Everything is yours, but just don't eat or even touch that tree over there. Unfortunately, the presence of Satan himself was there, and he deceived the woman and convinced her. And this is what he does to do and convince us. Many of us, even as believers, have been convinced by the accusations of the devil himself, who always wants not only to accuse you, but to accuse your God. And the accusation he always uses, just the same as he used when he was speaking to Eve, is that God's just holding back something from you. If you just did this, you'd be like him. It's been a stumbling block for humanity since the very beginning, that somehow we could be like God. It was a stumbling block for Satan himself when his name was Lucifer. And he was so beautiful, and he was the leader of all worship in heaven. And he started to believe all the accolades about himself, and he came up with his own theology where he said, well, I think I'll exalt my throne above that of the Most High God. This is a stumbling block that always seems to affect not only demonic and evil spirits, but the human spirit. And so we know the story. She was deceived, and she took a bite and went to her husband. He was not deceived. He chose to sin. And from that moment on, what happened when they ate of the fruit of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil which is human reasoning, envy, disharmony, vanity, jealousy, strife, fornication, competition, and there are many other fleshy terms that could go in that, but they are the fruit of that spirit, that fallen spirit of humanity. From that point on, God said death came into existence. Now, when God talks about death, He's not talking about the cessation of mere mortal life. We were at a wonderful funeral on Friday up in the Newville area at the Presbyterian Church up on the hill. And Bill Beck, the pastor of the church, which we've known him for many years, was burying Becky's aunt, her only remaining, a great aunt, I guess it would be. And we were there. Her physical life had ended abruptly. She was taking a ride from where she was staying to the hospital, and she passed away. Although the flesh is gone, the eternal spirit that was in Aunt Pearl is alive. She's a believer. She gave her life to Jesus many, many years ago. And so when God is talking about you shall die, He's not talking about the flesh. Unfortunately, when they ate of that tree for the very first time, flesh took on death. But when He describes death, He's not talking about the flesh. He's talking about the spirit. Death in the spiritual realm is when we are alienated and separated from the one who has created us to be in fellowship with Him. That's death. When sin comes and separates us and we are living, instead of in the intimacy of the garden, we're living in the flesh and the appetites of the flesh, and we're separated from our loving God. That's death. And yet we can be living and walking about and experiencing spiritual death in our existence because we're living in the wrong tree. You know, I so many times I come up here and I've already been set up. You know, Brent comes up and he holds up the very thing that I'm talking to you about. I didn't know he was going to do that. He came up and he said he has a problem. He's a monkey. I call it the monkey anointing, okay? He said, when you're in a wrong tree, climb out of the tree and run to the other one. I heard it from a number of leaders in this past few weeks where they are questioning. When they're thinking about something, thinking about what they're going to do, what tree am I in? And if we can do that on a moment-by-moment basis, I think we can live much more safe and secure. I call it the monkey anointing because I see monkeys swinging from one tree to the other. I mean, if you ever watch it on TV, how they grab one vine and they swing to the next tree. And oh, how this monkey has the capacity of doing that myself. I remember a conversation I was having about a month and a half ago. And we were looking at making a decision on a particular item. And I was in the wrong tree. Because I was looking at the right and the wrong of it. Okay? And one of the elders reminded me, I'm not sure that's the tree we want to be in. And I heard it. It is all too easy for us to swing back and forth. And it is part of the transition of growing in the knowledge of the tree of life that you will swing back and forth. So go ahead and swing. But swing less with each day throughout this coming year. Learn how to live in the moment. Make that decision from a mindset of the tree of life. I'm going to talk to you this morning about how we can live out our lives and be more successful at living in the tree of life. In conclusion to the message that we started a couple weeks ago. We talked about lifestyle of worship and that many times a prayer, we always talk about how prayer is a lifestyle of warfare. But there are more than just prayers. There's telling the truth. There's walking with integrity. There's staying faithful to your spouse. There's protecting your children and looking out for them. It's being an encourager instead of a judge. It's being a person that treats people with respect. It's a person who serves instead of just wanting to control. And I think probably the most prevalent and yet secretive is the battle for unfruitful meditation. You know, I told you when we were holding up this banner down here that our daughter was working through some things in her own life. She's an exhorter. And for those that are exhorters, you'll understand this. You have a capacity on your worst day to put a good face on it. Because you're a cheerleader kind of person, you're sort of happy-go-lucky. People always think you got it under control, but that isn't the truth. You struggle right here too. And Brittany had been, you know, struggling for a long time with things, but she put a good face on it. And ultimately, just not too long ago, she started talking to us about it so that we could be an encouragement. And God was doing things in the background that was putting things together in order for her to find her freedom. I don't know what your bondage is, but God has a place for you of freedom, and God has a plan for you to get there. But you're going to have to make good choices moment by moment in order to get there. A lifestyle of warfare is a demonstration of the character of Christ in your everyday walk. It's an attitude about life, an attitude that has gratitude in it, but it also has an open-hearted, expectant of good attitude. David said, "I would have perished had I not believed that I would see the very goodness of God in the land of the living." David went through some tough things, but he had an expectancy of his God, and he was a pre-Jesus New Covenant guy. He was an old covenant guy, and yet his understanding and knowledge of who his God was allowed him to have an expectancy of the goodness of God. If you have an expectancy day in and day out, no matter what messages you're hearing, no matter whose office you've been called to hear and experience the goodness of God in the land of the living, if that alone, that wide-eyed, hopeful expectancy will provide for you a stable platform to live on. You know, there are some people go through life and they say, "Well, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all." You know what? They're prophesying their own future. We heard Keith say in a song, let's prophesy something better. Let's prophesy things of goodness and fullness and of creativity and of freedom and of royalty in the days ahead. Lifestyle warfare is living a life without visible, well, not just visible, without contradictions. Because you can go through life without any visible contradictions, but be very conflicted inside, because you know they exist. Lifestyle of warfare is everyday people living supernatural lives. And a couple weeks ago I told you a story about Ted Haggard and how he went into a pastor. He's a pastor in Colorado Springs. We know the story we saw on the news, but the man was a gifted, creative, and powerful pastor for many years. And he pursued a man into a place where he ought not to have been. And instead of going in there and saying how disappointed he was in him and how long are you going to continue this secret behavior, or do you know you're living in sin and you need to repent and turning that man into a hard-hearted rejecter of Christianity. He went in and he said, "Brother, you know I love you and Jesus loves you too so much that he sent me in here to rescue you." Living in the tree of life means we are rescuers, not judges. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that makes a judgment of right or wrong. But God didn't say one side or the other. He said, if you eat of the fruit of any of that tree, it will bring judgment and condemnation into your life. You know, there are people that they can read the Bible. I'm going to give you a sort of a scenario. They read the Bible, and the instruction we're given in the Scripture is to read the words of Scripture and to hide them in our heart. It's sort of like the original filing system in a computer. You know, many times you're reading in the Bible, and it's just nothing of great momentary revelation is happening, but something is happening. It's being deposited in your heart for later retrieval in the moment that you need it to make the right choice. And so some people living in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they will read their Bible and they'll read it and they'll become arrogant because they know it. I know the Word of God. You ought to be like me and read your Bible as much as I do every day. They read it and they say, if you were a good Christian like me, they read it and they say, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You don't read your Bible. They want to bring condemnation and guilt and a sense of unworthiness. And that's what happens with judgment and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But you see, if you're a tree of life person, when you read the Scripture, you love reading the Scripture. It makes you want to pray more. It lifts your spirit when maybe you're a little down, but reading the Word, it buoys me up. It does something good for me. God speaks to me when I read His Word. It's the greatest thing that I've ever found. One of the greatest things I'm going to thank God for when I get to heaven, and of course I'm thanking Him right now because He's hearing me, is the fact that He called me to do this. Because as a teacher of the Word of God, I benefit from it before you ever do. It's in me. It's life in me. It's His Word in me. Jesus is the Word, and He is in me. And because I love to read it, it makes me want to read it more. You see, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for a person who doesn't read their Bible, they just heap guilt on them and condemnation. But the tree of life person, when they encounter someone who doesn't read the Bible on a regular basis, they say, folks, you just got to discover this for yourselves. You got to get into it. That's the most wonderful, life-giving. It's liberating. It's caused my marriage to be better when it wasn't really good. And I'm telling you the truth. Ask Becky. We weren't always on the same page in our spiritual walk. But the Word of God, reading it, has helped our marriage get healed. I can say that I learned truths through the Scripture about how to be a good businessman, how to practice good commercial practices, how to treat people, how to forgive people. The tree of life mindset brings life to people and others. And it serves with an attitude of gratefulness for just the opportunity to serve. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil will filter everything by judging what is good and or evil. And if you become an expert on good, you'll judge everybody else so harshly that it produces death. And if you become an expert on evil, well, the ramifications of that is it becomes corruption, becomes rampant, and it produces death. Let's look at a scripture here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. It's back there somewhere, and we're trying to get it up here. There it is. Here's a tree of life teaching from the New Testament. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly, it doesn't say you who are perfect. It says you who have a bent towards God should gently and humbly help that person back into the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. I could tell you story after story of how one, some leader, some brother, some sister has fallen. How their brothers and sisters of faith have abandoned them. They haven't done this. They left them to their own. They left them in judgment. Oh, what they did was wrong. Yeah, but this is what we're to do. Oh, they should have never gone there. Yeah, but this is what we're to do. We're to recover those that get lost, that stray from the path. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, He has enabled us to be ministers of His new covenant. And this is a covenant not written of laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death. But under the new covenant, which is through the blood of Jesus, the Spirit gives life. Now, I want to read to you a story that demonstrates in the life of Jesus how He dealt with blatant sin when it was exposed. Let's begin. As He was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, now those guys, I want you to know, they live out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They have a list, and they can pull it out at any moment and show you whether you're on which side of the list. But as I told you, it doesn't matter which side of the list. If it's out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's going to produce death. They brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. Newsflash, if she was caught in the act of adultery and they only brought her, somebody didn't get brought. You understand? Okay. They put her in front of the crowd and they said, Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses says to stone her. Remember, the old covenant leads to death. The letter of the law leads to death. What do you say? This is a moment of their, they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. See, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is always listening to what you're saying so that they can accuse you of making the wrong move or saying the wrong thing. When you got that tree of life attitude, you're not picking at people. You're not parsing every word they say. You're accepting them at a face value. Maybe they didn't say it exactly the right way. But that's okay. You know what love covers? A multitude of things that weren't done the right way. And so they kept demanding, okay, they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. Oh, I wish I had a video of that. I would love, I believe, in my spirit, I know what he was doing. He was writing the secret sins of the ones that were standing there trying to trap him. I believe he was writing things like theft or adultery or unfaithfulness to your spouse or a whole list of things. And they kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and he said, all right. But let the one who never sinned throw the first stone. And then he stooped down again and started to write in the dust. I love it. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one. And listen, this is strategic, beginning with the oldest. You do realize that the oldest would have more of those words written in the dust than the youngest, more than likely. And so they probably, see ya. And off they went, faded into the crowd. And so And they all left until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. And then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said this, "Neither do I." Do you understand that he was speaking to a woman who had broken the Mosaic law? The law that his father had given to Moses, and then it had been written on and it expanded and a new additions and new laws were commissioned. And Jesus looked at her, knowing who he is, and said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Now, in this moment, Jesus was acting as his Father in heaven and saying, "I judge you not. Go and sin no more." Now, "go and sin no more" isn't just a carte blanche statement. He was speaking very specifically to her. Go and do not continue in the lifestyle of sin and adultery. Go. Change. Turn away. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world, and if you follow me," if is a big word here, "you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. I read a book one time. I'm probably going to butcher the title, but it was called "Covered Up in the Dust of My Rabbi Jesus." Covered up in the dust of my Rabbi Jesus. I want you to picture a rabbi, a teacher of the Word of God in those days, who was not only the teacher, but he had a whole cadre of students. And you know as well as I do, in any group like that, there's always going to be one or two that are more connected to the teacher than the rest. And so he's walking. Now this is in, you know, we're not riding bikes. We're not in small cars. We're walking in these days. And every step kicks up dust. But right behind him are those disciples that want to be there close enough in case he mutters something of great value, they'll hear it. And because they're right there, they're always covered up in the dust of their rabbi, because he's kicking it up on them. I want you this year to do something different with your life, that you stay so close to your Rabbi Jesus that you begin to increasingly be covered up by his dust. That dust will get upon you because it was upon even his very shoes, and it will change you from the inside out. You see, Jesus, in a situation where he could have offered the law and death, he offered grace and freedom and life. But you have to change and go in order to receive that. I have that little story in my Bible sort of highlighted and identified as that it's safe to be rescued by Jesus. It's safe. And we like Jesus because he said, "I go, therefore I send you." We go as the same. We come into a world that wants to judge everything. And yet we're called not as umpires or judges. We're called as lifeguards, to help them out of their dilemma humbly and gently, and to point them in the right direction and say, "Life is there. Go towards life." His lordship is our pathway. The scripture says in Deuteronomy, "Today I have given you the choice." I love this. I mean, you were such a setup for me, Brent. You said about making those choices, and how your life can end up at this moment by this choice or that choice. And you can either focus on the choice, whether good or bad, in the wrong tree, or you can focus on the moment you're in and the choice you get to make now, and make it out of the tree of life. Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses, and now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. That you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. I'd like to say, oh, that you would choose the tree of life to live from. Now, very quickly, I want to give you a couple bullet points and we'll be out of here this morning. One of the things that Jesus valued very much is innocence. Then Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like a little child, little children, you'll never get into heaven, the kingdom of heaven. What is it about the children that are so different from us? They don't live in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They don't have any of it yet. They just live in that moment. They face everything free, wide-eyed, happy, unless we have infused them with fearfulness. And all too many times, parents, the only gift they seem to give their kids is be afraid of this and be afraid of that. And so as a result of it, we need to understand that a child, the way they're built, they're just open. And Jesus valued that. He said, guard it, cultivate it. Make choices every day. I have that written here because I make choices every day to determine whether I'm going to expose my eyes, my ears, my mind to things that are available to all of us every day. I have to make those choices. Things that I would entertain myself watching years ago, I don't do that today. Have you noticed how dark the movies are that are being produced today? Night of the Walking Dead, Afternoon of the Walking Dead, Breakfast with the Walking Dead. I mean, it's all that, what do they call those guys that should be dead but they're not? Zombies. Okay? You got to be careful. There are riders on that stuff. Hitchhikers, if you will. And they get into your spirit and they begin to do things that you don't want them to have happen in your life. Jesus valued innocence. And so as a result of it, his Father in heaven said, at the time Jesus prayed this prayer, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. So if innocence is so important, how do we guard it? Because he's sending us out into as sheep among wolves. So be shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. First thing is, live with a tree of life perspective. That's non-judgmentalism. Okay, I mean, when I say non-judgmentalism, I mean you're not going to condemn people for their behavior. You're going to help them move in the right direction. You're going to be used or available for God to help them through the moment or the circumstance that they're in. You're going to promote life, not condemn it. The second one is, walk in forgiveness. Many years ago, well, that's in the next bullet point. Resentment of any kind hinders our ability to serve and represent the life of Christ in a healthy way to people who hurt us. You may know that you're very willing to talk to people that maybe come into your life at work or wherever it might be and share with them some encouragement. But how are you with somebody that's hurt you or continues to hurt you? Okay? Do you know Jesus died for them too? The fact that they hurt you is not material that could be used. So walk in forgiveness. Forgive weekly, daily, momentarily. Guard your innocence. Discern any root of bitterness and reject it. Now, this is very important because something that happened 50 years ago, could have taken root in you, and it's influencing the way you're living today. And so ask Jesus by the Holy Spirit to reveal to you any root of bitterness that is in you that you need to deal with. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. Because if it's troubling you, it'll trouble others, okay? If it's troubling you, it'll somehow affect others. Becky and I and a group of people were at a marriage retreat. And I remember the time in our marriage at that time, and we were at this marriage retreat that was held out at Allenbury. And Jimmy Evans, you may know that name from the television. He has a television marriage ministry. And our pastor was able, because he knew him personally, to get him up here to do a weekend or a Saturday marriage. And he made this statement. And it's indelibly printed in my brain. The poison of unforgiveness damages far more the vessel that contains it than anyone that it could be spit upon. You see, when you're the container and you've got the poison, it doesn't matter. It's damaging you so long as you are containing it. And so it's important that you do watch out for any poisonous root of bitterness. Let love cover the sins of others. Let love cover the sins of others. In 1 Peter it says, love covers a multitude of sins. If you just would grant grace and love to people when they mess it up, it'll take care of it. And it won't become a major problem. You see, love keeps no record of what has been done. I remember when I first read this scripture, this is in the New Living Translation, but the first time that I read it in this kind of a structure was in the J.B. Phillips translation of the New Testament back in the 1980s. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It is important that if Jesus came to set people free, that you also be someone who sets people free. Even the ones that are going to repeatedly step on your toes in the spirit, if you will, just forgive. Jesus was asked one time, how many times should we forgive? Jesus, up to seven? And he gave them an equation. He gave them an equation that was a computation. Now the legalist would take that number, would go to that number, and after that number, no longer do I have to forgive. But the person who lives in the Spirit and the tree of life knows that Jesus says, just forgive. Just do it. Just set them free. Don't let it harm you. And the last bullet point is, well, he who covers and forgives an offense, they seek love. But he who repeats or harps on a matter separates even close friends. Practice verbal spiritual warfare. Do you know, other than the Word of God in your heart, as the sword of the Spirit, one of those powerful weapons that you have is right here. For good, for evil. Practice verbal spiritual warfare. Prophesy what you desire, not what you don't desire. You see? Prophesy what you want to see happen in your life, not what you don't want to see happen. The enemy hates it when we live in the tree of life, even more so when we live from the tree of life and live innocent lives. His desire is the same as it was in the Garden of Eden, exactly the same. It is to seduce us and to make us victims so that we blame one another, that we even blame the Lord, and that we believe that somehow God is holding something from us. That will produce death in you. Life is better than the knowledge of good and evil. And there's great power in innocence if you will guard it and keep it. The way of the guilty is exceedingly crooked, but as for the pure, his work is right and his conduct is straight. We must choose. We must choose life in order to live life. Today I have given you, and I've highlighted a whole new area. Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between the tree of life and the tree of death, which is the knowledge of good and evil. And now I call heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants would live. Choose innocence. Choose life. Let's bow our hearts for a moment. Thank you, Father. We thank you that you have clearly revealed through the Word of God that there are two completely different places opposing one another that we can be living our lives from. And I pray in Jesus' name that we focus this moment on the tree of life, that we focus this important decision on choosing to live in that tree, knowing full well that there'll be times where we catch ourselves swinging around. But help us, Lord, to identify it quickly and to come back to life. I pray in Jesus' name as a close to this year, 2017, that 2018 will be a year of spiritual prosperity for this congregation. I pray for over all of those that are not even here this morning. I prophesy that their lives will be changed as a result of the message of life that's available to them, and that they will come into it continually and continuously through this whole year. I pray life will replace the areas of darkness and death in our decision making and in our daily living. And I pray the freedom that only Jesus can grant us will come and move us not only into greater freedom, but on into an understanding of whose child we truly are and who is our brother, the Lord Jesus. We thank you so much for the revelation of that. Bring the freedom. Let heaven come to earth. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us see healing and deliverance and growth and prosperity and all of the blessings that come from being royal family members. Bless your people as they go today. Keep them safe. Cause them to exercise good judgment and wisdom for the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Be dismissed.